Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. D.C. Public Schools has been in session for the fall 2020 school semester for a week. And like so many school systems across the country, adapting to the new normal of distance learning imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic presented a steep learning curve. Well, tonight, we talked to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Dr. Louis Farabee about the challenges and his plans moving forward. Want to hear from you as well. Lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Farabee, thanks for talking to us. I appreciate your time.
Good evening. It's good to hear your voice and to connect. Hopefully, you and the family are doing well, sir.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Let us start with last week. What grade would you give DCPS for starting in this new normal?
I give us a P for progress. We definitely are in a different position than what we were in last spring. You recall in March, after March 13th, and we went into a week off and we went to learning at home posture. We learned a lot from that time period. We learned a lot from the feedback from our students, from our families. We made adjustments, and we made adjustments with three planning principles in mind, and that is continue to plan for robust health and safety protocols, maximize learning, which you'll see a lot of that reflected in our strategies now, whether that be learning at home or learning at school, and then equity is the third lens. But particularly learning at home and maximize learning, students have more live instruction time, and schedules are more predictable, and we've simplified and streamlined our platforms. And we've had more opportunity to distribute technology to students as well.
Let's talk a little bit about that technology. In the days before school started, you were out and about. You were very, very public about trying to make sure that students were getting Chromebooks and hotspots and the like. And that seems to be the biggest challenge for school systems in this area and across the country. Where are you when it comes to making sure that everyone can connect?
Well, as I said earlier, things are progressing daily, and we're really pleased the announcement was made today that 25,000 families will have access to high-speed internet through Comcast. And this is for our families that are more challenged economically. We also have, up until last week, distributed over 20,000 devices to students, and we are still distributing devices this week. We've also distributed hotspots for students needing support with internet access. This is very fluid as families are still expressing interest or may have purchased a device and find that device is not suitable, or for some students, they received a device in the spring, and that device needed to be updated. So we are continuing to provide those devices as needed, and we did a survey throughout the spring and summer to understand who would potentially need the device. Each school is important to know has a tracking system where we keep account of who received the device, who's requested a device, and maybe families we haven't heard from, and we reach out and call them directly.
Do you have an idea of how many students are still without the ability to connect?
No, we can't really put a number on that. In terms of connect, we know that any student that needs a device would have an opportunity to have a device. If they haven't gotten one last week, they definitely have one this week, but I don't foresee that being a large number of those that would still need a device at this point. So we're still confident that we've met the need as relates to devices. We are also continuing to learn from students if they have internet challenges. Some families may have had internet. They're finding that there are multiple users in the household and they need to build out their bandwidth, or they need support there. So I think that will continue to be fluid as we provide support. It's also important to know that for our pre-K-3 and pre-K-4 students, their device will be a little bit different, and we ordered those once we made a decision in July to be all virtual for the first term. We received those devices, which is the iPad, and our pre-K-3, pre-K-4 students started a little bit later, and they'll receive their devices by mid-September, as early as next week.
You know, one of the things following up with that announcement about the money that was being made available by the district to help connect needy families through RCN and Comcast, and we were told today we're talking about 25,000 students. That is a head-snapping number. That 25,000 students, you know, that's the size of a large town. If you need to connect 25,000 students or have that much available for them, how do you measure when you're ready to make sure that everybody is on board? How do you know?
Well, we know one by attendance and engagement, and we are seeing engagement numbers steadily increase as we work through challenges. For example, day one, we did experience a surge in Monday morning where there were a number of students that were having trouble with their passwords. We built out additional tech support to help families resolve those issues, and you could see once we started to resolve those challenges, numbers started to increase, and we've seen a steady uptick. And just guessing, I'm assuming that we're probably above 90% of engagement. And so the goal is to be at 100 or close to 100% engagement of our students that are enrolled. And we'll continue to do everything possible to make that happen between now and then.
We are talking to Dr. Lewis Farabee, Chancellor of the D.C. Public School System. D.C. Public Schools have been in session now for a week, distance learning, trying to address that steep learning curve that so many school systems are across the country. If you are having a question or comment about distance learning and this new normal, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mrs. Humphrey calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold Fisher. And
hi, how are you?
Barbie. Yay for DCPS. I am a current DCPS teacher, and I will agree with Dr. Farabee. We are progressing. As a fifth grade teacher, I get to talk to parents firsthand. And the parents have said that they are extremely appreciative of the fact that we have one platform instead of so many platforms like other districts. And also, I do appreciate the fact that we will have hotspots available. I'm hoping that teachers will be able to get on those hotspots as well. But anyway, my question is about incentives for students. How can we keep kids motivated until we go back to school in person? I have tried offering small amounts of cash to Cash App to families, $1 and $2. The most I've offered was $5 for playing games like Kahoot, for coming to a class on time and following the norms and the expectations. So are there any ideas on the floor for like how we can keep kids motivated to want to come to school through virtual learning?
Mrs. Humphrey, thank you so much for your question. Please go right ahead, Chancellor Farabee.
Thank you for that question. And, you know, I just take a moment to celebrate our staff. Our staff has been phenomenal during this time period, and they have gone above and beyond, as you heard tonight, to meet the needs of our students and be responsive. I think the best thing we can do to motivate our students the greatest incentive we can provide them is to know that we care and we're there for them during these difficult times. So I think family engagement is paramount right now. Regular conversations with families, not only about teaching and learning, but just general experiences they may be having right now. The other thing I think we can do, and I've seen a lot of success with this, is be creative and non-traditional in the way that we are providing instruction right now. We have to be creative in the way that we would engage students, whether it be, you know, fun games or other ways to get students excited about learning. And then finally, I believe we have to continue to talk about what it's going to take for us to get students in-person learning. I think that's motivating for students. I think many students are looking forward to a time period where they can interact with their teachers and their peers in person. And I think the more that we talk about that and provide some light on what that could be, families will be looking forward to it, and students will be looking forward to it. But in terms of incentives, we have lots of businesses and organizations that support DCPS, and we also have the DC Education Fund, and they have resources that can be utilized for incentives. So I would love to follow up if you would like to after this call and get you some resources so you can provide your students with some incentives.
Thank you so much for that phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dr. Lewis Farabee, Chancellor of the D.C. Public School System. Jasmine calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jasmine. What's on your mind?
Hi there.
Hi.
Just wondering, as a parent and educator, what resources do we or are we providing for teachers during, like, as we are going through this distance learning journey? I do know that there are a lot of resources that we are, you know, helping, we are providing, like, our families with, whether it's resources from around the city or, like, COVID things. But I'm wondering, have teachers been, you know, considered a part of, you know, needing resources and, like, priority?
Yeah, teachers are definitely top of mind as we think about this time period. And it's important to note that our mental health supports are not only available to students and families, but to adults and staff as well. We know that many of our adults are also experiencing trauma or have experienced trauma during this time period. We're also being flexible with our teachers, knowing that many of our teachers are teaching, but they're also parenting at the same time, and need grace and compassion as they work towards both their family obligations and also being a teacher for DCPS. We continue to work on our housing strategies for our teachers, knowing that housing can be a relief for families during this stressful time, and we're continuing to grow the opportunities for teachers to purchase homes here in the District of Columbia and be residents where they work. And then finally, many teachers have expressed interest in coming into their building to provide their virtual learning experiences. I've heard from some teachers who said, you know, I'm in a studio apartment with someone else. I can't really teach, or there may be another barrier. And so we are providing an opportunity where teachers can collaborate with their principal or school leaders to come into the building if they can't work from home for whatever reason. And then finally, we are still celebrating excellence in our teachers through our impact model, and teachers will still have the ability to earn performance incentives for this 2021 school year.
Jasmine, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dr. Lewis Farabee, Chancellor of the D.C. Public School System, about the fall 2020 semester, the new normal imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic. What is the yardstick for reopening in your mind, Dr. Farabee? Certainly, you don't have final say, but you are certainly part of the process.
Thank you, Hal. I think one of the considerations that, you know, we would look at the most, and obviously Mayor Bowser is taking the lead in collaboration with DC Health on that decision, is, you know, where are we with community spread, and where are we with, you know, our continued efforts around curbing the spread in the district. And I can't say enough about what DC Health has done and the leadership of Mayor Bowser to put us in a good position, especially with our efforts of building out support for contact tracing. And the contact tracers are actively engaged throughout the city to help us understand where our cases are and what type of transmission is occurring in the district. We are also continuing to build out our health and safety protocols. So there's work that we're doing for our HVAC systems. There are work that we're doing in our buildings to ensure that social distancing can take place. And also we have other safety protections for our students and staff. And so I think the two areas where we would be the most focused is understanding where we are with community spread, and then secondly, ensuring that our buildings and our facilities are prepared to receive students and staff.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the Chancellor of the D.C. Public Schools System, Dr. Louis Farabee, about this new normal, distance education. D.C., like so many other school systems across the country, instructing, educating, teaching children who are at home, not in the classroom, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. We invite you to join this conversation at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm going to take a break, but before we do, I wanted to let you know that for HUR at Home tonight at 8:15 on our social media platforms, we're going to be talking to the People's Council of the District of Columbia, as well as the DC Public Service Commission, about saving you money when your wallet or pocketbooks have been hit really hard during the pandemic shutdown. So HUR at Home at 8:15. That's after the Daily Drum. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. Of course, I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM. Still taking your phone calls even up until 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. We are talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Dr. Louis Farabee about the challenges of distance learning and his plans moving forward in this new normal, the COVID-19 pandemic-imposed distance learning that D.C. and many other school systems across the country are dealing with. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Farabee, how do you deal with truancy under these circumstances? It's one thing to find students pre-COVID and making sure that they are in class, but now you have to find them and make sure that they are in front of the laptop. How do you deal with that?
Well, we believe it was really important, as I said earlier, to have a consistent schedule for students to follow. So in response to the feedback we received for learning at home in the spring, we provide every family with a clear schedule. So students know when they need to be logged in, and students can expect to be engaged in live lessons with their classmates on a predictable weekly schedule. And we think that's so important to engagement and attendance. We also have designed our schedule around what we call developmentally appropriate screen time. And so the time for live instruction varies on your age. And so if you're a pre-K student, that's going to be, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 hours. If you're a high school student, it's going to be 4 to 5 hours a day. And we think that makes a difference in the way that students will be engaged and also their attendance. We're currently taking attendance through students logging in. They're expected to log in each day. We also have the ability to track their records throughout the day once they log in through our learning management system. We are continuing to do daily attendance reports. And if a student is experiencing a technology issue, for example, we ask them to call the school or the school will reach out to a family because we don't want a student marked absent for the day if they're not able to log in due to a technology issue. And in schools, we use more than just daily attendance to monitor engagement. They will look at whether students are completing assignments, how they're participating in instruction. And if we don't see participation or we don't see students submitting assignments or logging in, then we will launch our truancy efforts, which includes outreach to the family. And ultimately, we get CSA involved if we need to as well.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because we were all children once. And it's one, as I said, at one point, it's one thing to get children to come to school when they may not be so enthusiastic about doing it, but not all children have the kind of supervision that would be ideal right now. Because for those parents who are still working, they may not be at home. And if the child is home alone, they may not want to log in. So how do you address that kind of dynamic?
Well, we recognize that there definitely are some unique situations and scenarios that students are in. One that comes to mind is our students that are experiencing homelessness. And as a result, we have a team of social workers and support staff that are partnered directly with our local shelters that are providing direct assistance to those students. We also know that some of our younger students may not be appropriately supervised or may be supervised by siblings, and so we also have our social workers and counselors engaged there. And then, like I said earlier, we use multiple tools to assess student engagement daily. And so we believe this gives us an advantage of knowing where students are daily and being able to respond quickly if we don't see engagement. Mm-hmm. And that could be a text message to the student, a phone call. And in some cases, we have had staff go out to homes for outreach to families. But we are seeing that when students have a predictable schedule, where we don't overload them in terms of their screen time, and our lessons are creative and innovative and engaging, that students do want to learn and they do want to connect with their teachers and their peers. But ultimately, we also recognize that some students learn best in school and in person, which is why we're working hard to move in that direction as quickly as possible, and we'll prioritize certain groups of students who may have experienced more difficulty with learning at home for in-person experiences.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angela calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Harold. Good evening, Chancellor. I'm the parent of a senior, yay, class of 2021. And it is a different experience being virtual, but also taking standardized testing, getting prepared for college. What are the supports that the DCPS will have in place for students who are leaving out but about to join a whole nother realm of life, trying to get into college? She's still really concerned about, you know, going there, maybe not being able to go in person, and everything being virtual. Are there things that the DCPS has in place now that can assist these kids as they go through all of this?
Yes, we're definitely keeping our eyes on our seniors. In fact, each year We provide a graduation, college, and career guide. We do that earlier for our seniors, and this will provide our seniors a great view into what course requirements they need this final year, how they stand in terms of college admissions and how competitive they are compared to their peers. And then we also identify for students smart choice college or career pathways if they want to go directly into the workforce outside of graduation. We are working now to provide some in-person experiences for those students that are in our career and technical education programs, knowing that some of the licensure requirements for those programs require in-person experiences. So, for example, a student may be a senior at Eastern High School and studying to be a paramedic. There are a certain amount of in-person hours they need to complete that certification, and we are working to give students that opportunity. We're also working on a plan for SAT and ACT administration for those students that are wanting to take another shot at SAT and ACT before graduation, knowing that there are still a few colleges that are utilizing those results for admissions. And then we have our DCPS Persist initiative that we recently launched, which is not only a support to graduating seniors, but it is a support that will be with students once they graduate and beyond. Through our DC Persist initiative, we provide supports for our graduates in the next chapter of their educational journey. And that can include scholarship dollars, include money for books, or even just getting to the local college or university. So we want our students to continue to have all the resources they need. Our counselors for seniors now are standing up virtual college visits for students as well, so they can see what options are available. And we also are helping them with applications and scholarships as well. So hopefully our seniors are excited about their last year, and we can end this year potentially with graduation in person to celebrate their time in K-12.
Mm-hmm. Angela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Another big thing that school systems are having to face is special education. What's the plan for that? Because often the multi-layers of special education are already challenging for in-person learning. How do you deal with that with distance learning? Do you have enough special education resources now for distance learning?
Well, there's definitely no substitution for in-person instruction when you think about related services for students that have individualized education plan and special education services. And we're having to adapt and provide as much of those services as we can remotely. And as a result, we have modified the individualized education plans, or will modify those for students, with an addendum that reflects this posture we're in of learning at home. And we're utilizing as much assistive technology as possible to help students through this time period of learning at home. And we are, again, prioritizing certain groups of students for in-person experiences, and those students that have very unique services associated with their IEPs will be prioritized for in-person experiences.
So how is that going to work? You said will be. I'm assuming it's not happening right now. So how will that prioritizing work for in-person person, services, education?
Thank you, Harold, for that question. So to clarify, we are working towards providing some in-person experiences for a select group of students before we move into term two. So term two would be the earliest possibility for us to move to full hybrid. Between now and November, we want to provide some experiences for a select group of students. Part of those students would be, as I mentioned earlier, maybe students that are experiencing homelessness, might be some English language learners, or our students receiving special education services. So we want to prioritize those groups of students for first experiences. And then as we move towards term two, we would still prioritize those students to get as many in-person experiences as possible.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tiffany calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Tiffany, what's on your mind?
Thank you so much. I was calling in just because I wanted to express my gratitude to Chancellor Furby and his staff for the leadership. My student is a current high school freshman, and from my understanding, the Summer Bridge program was something that was new, so that was able to operate virtually, and also just the virtual start to the school year with the distribution of the devices from DCPS. That process was really good for us. And also the communication from the school, the communication from the chancellor's office, all of that has been excellent. So I was very reluctant to enroll her. You know, we're coming from charter into public, but so far the experience has been positive, and I am definitely grateful for that because I know that it took a lot of behind-the-scenes work. So I just want to express gratitude for that.
Tiffany, thank you so much. Sure. Go ahead. Go right ahead, Chancellor.
You know, it's been so heartwarming to hear from so many parents tonight. First of all, thank you for choosing DCPS. We know that you have many options, and we're really proud that you chose us, and I'm thrilled that you're having a good experience. And we know this good experience can be better, and we ask that you continue to look towards us for progress in the days ahead. But also, again, this is a reflection of what our staff is doing. Our principals have worked really hard. Our teachers are committed, and it's reflected in the experiences that our families are having. And we appreciate you sticking with us, and we want you to continue to be good partners with us. What's fascinating is we're seeing more parent engagement because parents are wanting to support their students at home, and our parent university has seen tremendous growth and participation. We actually have more sessions. We'll have sessions scheduled up into mid-September, and they can go to the DCPS website to see what the sessions are about. We had a session on specialized instruction, which is related to students receiving special education services, and we have other sessions as well. But we have worked really hard over the summer and spring to prepare for this start, and we know that we can get better, and we will get better as we think about the rest of the 2021 school year.
Tiffany, thank you so much for your phone call. Chancellor Farabee, what about some of the youngest students? When do you anticipate having all of the technology in place to make sure that they are on board like the older students?
Yes, so our pre-K 3, pre-K 4 students are actually in home visit mode right now. And what teachers are doing is they're scheduling individual time to connect with the student. Especially for 3-year-olds, this is really important because this gives them an opportunity to make a connection with their teacher and get to know their teacher and give the teacher an opportunity to get to know the parent as well. As I mentioned earlier, their device for virtual instruction will be the iPad. We have received them, iPads. They are in stock, and we will work through each elementary school or pre-K site to distribute those devices to our 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds once they've completed this phase of their virtual home visit.
Mm-hmm. How soon do you suspect that may be?
We've given ourselves up into mid-September to complete that process. I think that device distribution will start as early as next week for our students. Some schools could start towards the end of this week.
What is the plan for students who started falling behind after the shutdown in March? Yes, there was that Bridge Summer program and that DC and a lot of other school systems were doing, but do you have any numbers that give you an idea of students that have not been able to keep up? And if so, how do you plan to address that?
So we did offer summer school, and that was virtual, and we had good participation there. And we also offered our summer bridge for students in grades 3, 6, and 9. This school year, many of our teachers are starting the year with assessment of student learning, of what students need in terms of prerequisite skills for this school year. And we will use that as a basis to plan for instruction throughout this year. We're also embedded in our curriculum thanks to the work of our teachers over the summer. We have what we call curricular tasks that are required for each student based on the grade level or content area they're in. And this is another way of us regularly assessing where students are. And it's so important that we understand whether or not students have mastered a particular concept. For the spring, we did a lot of review. For this school year, we will be introducing new content. And as I mentioned earlier, assessing whether or not students have mastered that new content is critical. So, for example, we have a fourth grade class, and they're working on converting fractions to decimals. We've created activities for the teachers to utilize where they can give assignments when we're in a virtual posture to understand whether or not students haven't mastered, whether they mastered that concept. If they haven't, we've built in time throughout the day and on Wednesday to do small group or individual sessions with students on these topics that they may need more time in, that they haven't necessarily mastered yet. And then we would assess those topics again. And it's an ongoing cycle of introducing new content, assessing where students have learned it or not, and then providing additional support or acceleration as a result of those data points.
Talk to me about some of those in-person jobs that I would imagine right now are not filled, such as, you know, cafeteria workers, school nurses, and healthcare workers, because everyone is at home. What is the status of those jobs?
So many of our staff are still working. So our custodians are still working in our buildings. It's important to note that we have still completed a large number of capital projects this summer to enhance our buildings and do some renovations. We also have cleaning and safety structures being installed in our buildings to receive students and staff. And our nurses are still working. The nurses' primary responsibility right now is to assist with immunizations. As you may know, immunizations are down significantly right now because many families have not had the opportunity to get out and see their primary care physician for immunizations. And so we believe it's so important that students get their vaccines. And you know, while we're talking about a vaccine for coronavirus, there's still other challenges we may face if students aren't immunized appropriately. So that's in process. And then we're still providing meals. Our meal service teams are still working. We have many schools that are meal sites that provide meals to students on a daily basis. So teams are still working, and we're still providing as much of the services we can while we're in this learning at home posture.
Mm-hmm. Since the shutdown back in March, Mayor Bowser has repeatedly said that she's going to focus on the science. She's going to focus on the metrics. She's going to focus on safety. And that falls to Dr. LaQuantra Nesbitt, the D.C. Health Director. And as I mentioned earlier, you being, you know, I would argue, you know, part of that, you know, four-legged stool, including the deputy mayor for education, and maybe five-legged when you're talking about DC superintendent's office. But you know, from your perspective, what are you hearing from Dr. Nesbitt for the next step, and what does that next step look like for you, whether it's the second half of this semester, you know, the second quarter, or maybe after the first of the year?
So what I'm hearing from Dr. Nesbitt is, you know, we will continue to reiterate with the community that we need their support with opening of schools. She explained many times to me and to the public that, you know, simple things like wearing a mask and social distancing and, you know, staying away from large gatherings are all important to helping us take a step towards curbing transmission in the city of COVID-19, which allows us to open our doors to schools. And I know the mayor has also reminded the public that, you know, the priority for our community and our neighborhoods right now is getting our schools back in session, in person. And we do that by maintaining health and safety. And everybody has a role to play in that. So I want that message to be loud and clear tonight that we want our schools open, and we need our residents and those visiting the district to help us make that step towards that as we move towards November, which is, again, our first opportunity to go full throttle with in-person experiences.
Are you prepared to prepare the public, the parents, and the students for a shift, if you move to hybrid or some sort of hybrid after November or even after the first of the year? And then, as we've seen on college campuses, they tried it and then they pulled back. Are you prepared to prepare them for a double clutch to shift back to distance learning if there is community spread in the schools?
And one thing we know to be true is, in this pandemic, you know, we have to be nimble and flexible. And that means sometimes you got to stop on a dime and recalculate your next move. And we're definitely prepared to do that. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. I mean, our ability to get schools open and keep them open will ultimately by the behaviors of our residents and those visiting the district. And I believe that we have made progress and will continue to make progress in controlling the spread of COVID-19, which allows us to have school. But, you know, there's a reason for us to go back to virtual once we're in person. We'll definitely be prepared to do that. Is that depressant? Absolutely not. And how I think if you ask our parents and our students, many of them would say that they're ready for school to be in person. And I want that for them as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing that you worry most about now that school has been open a week and as you begin to look at this first quarter?
You know, I worry about our young people and their social skills. You know, I think they're going to be fine academically, and you know, we can, you know, we can fill in where, you know, there's gaps right now. But I worry that, you know, the ability to interact with your peers as a young person and, you know, not having that for an extended period of time, there could be consequences. You know, we're in an age where young people are on their phones and utilizing technology more so than ever. And I think, you know, socialization is already a challenge. And I think we're on the verge of having even a bigger challenge of critical social skills that are needed to be a productive adult. So I worry about that. You know, secondly, I just also worry about, you know, the mental health of our adults and our students. And, you know, we're giving them as much space as possible to talk about how they're feeling right now. We actually established a series of lessons for each grade level called Living Through History, which is just talking about and reflecting on and writing about this time period that we're in right now. Because I think people need to get it out. There's so much pent-up emotion about racial injustice. There's so many, you know, frustrations about COVID. And I just worry that, you know, we don't have, you know, constructive ways for students to talk about it and think about it. It could have a lasting effect. And so
yes.
I think those are the two things that I worry about the most, and, you know, obviously, you know, the health of our students and staff is always top of mind.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Dr. Lewis Farabee, Chancellor of the D.C. Public School System. Good luck, sir. We'll be in touch. And
thank you.
Please stay safe.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, September 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.